We had been looking at some signs, prevailing signs of pride. And the reason for my teaching you this was to help us grow in the fruitfulness that God, that God had planned for us, or that God has called us into. And I said that there are a number of traits that will stop us from becoming fruitful. And in that, in the quest to becoming fruitful, we want to ensure that these traits are not found with us as characters. And we said that the number one sign of, you know, not becoming fruitful, or it's, we're going to say, you know, a prevailing sign of pride is what we are looking at. But we're trying to say that, you know, pride is one of the things that, if we harbor, we just might have God's resistance, and that hinders us from becoming truly fruitful. So throughout Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and certainly today, we have been trying to look at some prevailing signs of pride. We looked at the scripture in Proverbs 6, things doth the Lord hate, and we saw that the first thing that the Lord hates, Proverbs chapter 6, I should think, verses 16, he says that a proud look, opinion about oneself. You know, you think you're too important. And because the Lord hates it, we get to realize that he resists those who are proud, but yet he gives grace to the humble. So God's giving grace to the humble. He pours out his grace to the humble. He pours out his beauty to the humble. Pours out his splendor to the humble. He pours out his great mercy to the humble. He pours out his delightfulness to the humble. So we can find that the man who is humble is the man that's always going to be receiving more from the Lord. And then we're trying to look at some of the prevailing signs of pride that will stop us from being fruitful. We had looked at a number of them. We said that many of the times pride speaks of itself. Number two, it needs to be at the center, is what we said. And then we looked at pride always trying to impress. Then we looked at pride and how it does not like to be corrected, or how the proud man does not like to be corrected, right? Then we looked at how it has interests in itself, and then how it seeks to be different from others. Today we're just going to look at a combination of some sweet ones, right? Pride defends itself. Pride defends itself. When you see that somebody is very defensive. See, let me tell you, you should listen to the audios. They will bless you. I mean, in these series that I'm doing, there's not too much. We're just having a casual talk. But I believe that these messages will bless you. And so listen to them over and over and over and over again. Sometimes, you know, you might be thinking, oh, I was there in the service. No, you need to listen to them again. So pride defends itself. When you see that somebody is so defensive of themselves, they defend themselves in an argument. They defend themselves when they are wrong. In fact, they are known to be defensive people of anything that they do. They defend themselves in corrections. Anything else that is wrong, they try to justify the reason for the wrong. So when you have a defensive sort of mind, it's like you can't accept very simple things that are presented to you. And you always have an answer for why you did something, or why you acted in a certain way. You missed it. When you are touched, you are defensive. It could show some prevailing signs of pride. So whenever you realize that you are always finding reason to defend, you justify your actions. You never say you are sorry. You never say, I'm wrong. I missed it. I'm wrong. I missed it. You don't find them say, I'm wrong. I missed it. No. They never are wrong. They never accept that they are wrong. Yeah. Some of you saw the Davido picture. I reshared after realizing that, it was a blogger issue. It was not exactly so. Yeah, if I tell you what happened, you'll be amazed. Yeah, I saw it 2 days of 2 days ago. I'm sorry. I mean, 2 days ago to my posting it. And I was like, that's a blogger sort of issue. So then it came to my heart that why don't you correct the wrong you posted there of just sharing something that was not entirely true. It was true to an extent, but it was not entirely true. So why don't you share it and tell the people that this thing that you shared is not like that? So in my mind, I just scripted it off. I was just like, it's not anything. It's just a shared post. So I remember after I did that, I suddenly became uneasy. Yeah, my heart was not dealing with me rightly. So after 24 hours passed, I still sense that uneasiness. So many of the times when I sense an uneasiness, I know that there's something wrong because naturally I'm calm, peaceful in my heart every time. So after 48 hours, I sensed even more a raging. Yeah, I sensed a raging in my heart. So I was like, where is this coming from? So normally when it's like that, I begin to search my spirit. Learn how to do that, right? When you wake up and you are not in the right state of the heart, you shouldn't think it's because somebody broke your heart or somebody got you angry. You are a believer. And so you are able to pick up emotions of the spirit. I taught you that during the camp. He's able to send emotions to your heart. So you must begin to search in your heart what exactly is wrong. So I started to think maybe I'd offended somebody or I had spoke to somebody. I had spoken about somebody. I searched. I was not finding it. I was trying to know why am I like this? Why is my heart not peaceful like this? And the Lord said, you ignored something very important. You see, you ignored something very important. And that desire of correction that the Spirit of God gave you, you didn't listen. Yeah, you just dealt with it lightly. So maybe you are just trying to save yourself or save your face. You see that? It's like you are trying to save your face. Yeah. Trying to save your face. Yeah. So I was like, is that it? So I was thinking about it in prayer and it came to me as a flash. That's it. So after I shared it, the kind of peace I had, I believe that was the Spirit of God telling me that's humility. That's the path that I wanted you to go. And say, this thing I didn't do it rightly. So let's do it like this. And I've already told those who follow me and those who learn from me, every Bible teacher who is true at a point in time comes back to review, recorrect, reteach something that they had already taught. It's the sign of a true Bible teacher. Any Bible teacher that you see that is like, we've taught this, is the same. And meanwhile, when they get to realize that, there was a twist in here, there was a detour here. I learned that from Reverend Chris Onayinka. Says that sometimes he has taught something and then he comes back to the church and he tells the church, listen, let's look at it again. I didn't see it well. Now I factored this in. Then they all learn and they all continue. Right? So it's the sign of a true man of God. Yeah, when you make it feel like, well, that's the sign of purity of heart. Yes, purity of heart. So after I did that, I could sense the Lord talking to me, flowing with me again, and I was like, wow. Wow, it means he was telling me that thing you did was not right. So I have a conscience. Yes, I have a conscience. When I do something, I have my conscience is alive and active. That's what I'm telling you, that anybody with me and anybody under me, your surety with being with me is that my teacher has a conscience. Yes, that's your surety. Is that my teacher has a conscience. It means that my teacher fears God. It's that he fears God. When he fears God. Yeah. He fears God. That's the most important thing. You should even look out for that in any, is that he fears God. It's one of the main attributes. So you see that it is very difficult to say you are wrong when you are proud. It's very difficult. Yeah, it's very difficult. Men sometimes are like that with their wives. The woman will say something. Women are very intuitive. They can calculate, see things 5 years, 7 years from now. They'll tell that, hey, this thing you are doing, I think you should concentrate. The man, he doesn't care. He's just going with his head. And he goes to hit. Then, you know, it's all you come back and say, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't see that. He just tries to just cover it up and say that, you know, it's not like that. They just cover it up in a certain way. If the woman is wise, she just smiles over it and lets it go. Right? If she's not wise, she'll say, I told you. You see what I was telling you? I was telling you 3 years ago, I told you this thing. You see, that's finally happened. You see that? Yeah. So when the woman is smart in the marital home, it helps. Because many times they will say things that they'll tell her, be careful. The man, be careful. Oh. Because she will say, oh, there's nothing here. The woman will be saying, be careful. Then he'll go and make the mistake. Then he'll come back. So you must know how. But a proud person will never say that, oh, I missed it, I'm wrong. A proud woman will never say that, oh, and husband, please, I missed it, I'm wrong, forgive me. Yeah. So as you grow, watch that. Don't be defensive. Don't always try to justify a wrong that is done. Don't try to justify yourself. Don't justify yourself. Don't say that, this is the reason why. No. When you realize something, yeah, the man that says, I'm wrong, is the man that God's hand is mighty upon. Look at Saul and David. Saul, they've told you, when you go, don't bring any spoil back. Kill all the spoils there. You went. You brought the spoils back. The prophet Samuel has come and says that, are these not the bleating of the sheep in my ears that I hear? Oh, Saul. Saul said, oh, Samuel, no, it's the people that you gave me. You see, but if you read this, the instance very careful, the people made him aware that they were bringing the spoils to Israel. Yeah. So, oh no, it's the people. He couldn't rise up to defend. I mean, he couldn't rise up to say that, yes, Lord, I've missed it. As if that was not enough. That was Saul's mistake. God told him, do not offer the sacrifice. He gets the things ready. Sacrifice is ready to be made. And Samuel is delaying. A few times ahead, Samuel is not in. He picks up the things related to the sacrifice and offers the sacrifice. The moment he offered the sacrifice, Samuel appeared. When he offered the sacrifice and Samuel asked him, Saul, who asked you to offer the sacrifice? You know the response Saul gave Samuel? He said that the people could not wait any longer, so I just decided to. Samuel says, you have done a foolish thing. He was still defending himself. Then he now told Samuel the prophet, he said, please, come and just be with me and let's do the sacrifice quick. He couldn't be wise and say that, oh, Lord, I've missed it now. Forgive me. Yeah, he couldn't do that. You should go and read it. But David, one time he's supposed to be on the battlefield, stands up upon a tower, sees a woman who happens to be Bathsheba. Oh, lusts after the woman, sleeps with the woman, kills her husband. Look at the scene, oh. And the moment something happens, David is crying, Lord, I have done an evil thing. I have done a wicked thing. I am responsible. No wonder he was a man after God's own heart. You see, many times we think God is interested in having us perfected. It's like, you've never done something. That's why God chose you. No. No. It's that when you do something, you can come back to me and say, Lord, I don't have a defense for this. I am the one that did this thing. I have done it. It's the same. Let me tell you something. I will 1,001 times walk with somebody who chooses to accept that I have done this than somebody who tries to look perfect in my sight. Yes. Because to the one that accepts, you know that there is room for growth and there is room for doing well. The one who doesn't accept is to be with somebody and you're under a time bomb. So, pride justifies itself. It is defensive. Always will defend itself, even when it is wrong. The proud man will always justify himself. Be willing to yield, and when necessary, apologize. Yes, when necessary, apologize. So, another character of pride. Interesting character. But many times it cannot receive. Is it challenging many of the times for you to receive without feeling like very obligated to reciprocate a good deed? It's one of the signs of pride. Yes, I know you didn't know this, but it is true. It's like you feel like you are entitled to always be the one that gives and never receives. The proud man never receives any good thing from anyone. Yeah. It's a kind of pride. You see yourself in a certain way. Yeah. When, that's why I told you that when the Lord told me that if you don't start teaching the people about giving, and the Lord exposed an ego to me in ministry. And I told you what that ego was. It was the ego of not having to receive from people. Yeah, I found myself being proud and saying, I was the one who does this. I was the one. And the Lord said, no, that's not how I created the ministry to be. Yeah. Yeah. With the kind of ministry, what God is going to do with our lives, even if I worked at Talu Oil, and they gave us their, we can't pay what we are doing. Yeah, it's true. It's true. It's a collective together effort. Not any man can fund God's ministry on his own. So I took off my hands and I said, Lord, I've left it to you. And that's why now you see me teaching on giving a lot. And you can see me take an offering. Yeah, it's a sign of humility. You don't know, I'm telling you. I wasn't like this. I told you it was just zero. Last year, November, we started taking offerings. All the time I was proud and saying that, oh, you know, we are the ones that first, we pay, we are working, we are making our own money, we are doing that, we are doing. And God said, see, if you don't stop that. Yeah. So now I allow people to give to me and I bless them. That's humility. Yeah, that's humility. Learn to receive other people. It's not every time you should be buying food for your friends. Even when you don't have money and they say, please, can we go to the food court? Can we go to the canteen? Can we go to the cafeteria? And by the way, oh, no, you know, it's okay. It's okay, you know, I'm fine. But every time you are the one that wants to be the one that shows that you can give, it is a subtle sign of a prevailing pride. So you must learn to receive. When somebody does good to you, learn to receive. Learn to say thank you and not feel obligated to also say, I will do this for you the next time. Don't say, just collect. Feel like you're the one being blessed. And say thank you honestly. Yes, say thank you. When people buy ice cream for you, say thank you. Don't say, oh, the next time I'll cover it up for you. No, just say thank you there and let it die off. A proud man cannot receive. He can't receive anything. He always wants to be the one on top, the one giving, the one on the spotlight, the one feeling like they are on top of their game. So, you learn to receive. It's the sign of humility. A proud one doesn't know how to receive. He also doesn't know how to ask. You see, it's the sign of pride when you can't receive and you can't ask. In fact, asking is one of the signs of humility. Yeah. Those that are, I need this thing, but... I saw that you have it, and I think it will be of a benefit to me. And what kind of English is that? Just please. Please, can you help me with this? I'm in need of this. Would you be able to help me? Thank you very much. A proud man never asks. They feel entitled to things. They just open your fridge and take anything. They don't ask you. It's one of the prevailing signs of pride. A humble man will always say, oh, please, I'm going to take your... Is it okay with you? Take it. Unless, of course, you have a very strong brother relationship with whoever you stay with, that you don't need to ask. But many times, there are many times you need to ask. When it's not yours, don't assume that when you pick it, the person will not be angry, or the person will not be okay, or the person will be this. So you will not ask. And then the person comes to see you having it, and the person is shocked. No, learn to ask. Learn to receive. Learn to ask. Say, brother, can you do this? Yeah. Many times in discipleship, when you disciple different people, you get to see different people. And I've seen different people, and people are different every time. You see that somebody knows how to ask. Pastor, please, I'm going to do this. Is it okay for me to ask? Is it okay for me to embark on? Pastor, please, what do you think about this? Pastor, please, I'm going to. Pastor, please. Pastor, I'm moving from here to here. The one who is, just get out and just move. Hello, Master. Please, I'm now at... And the only thing the pastor can say is, oh, okay, that's fine. I mean, a pastor should be skilled enough to know. Yeah. You make your own decisions, you just move anywhere, just subscribe for anything. Then you now come and update the pastor on what to do. It's wrong. It's rather to tell the pastor, then you both together prayerfully make a decision. Or he guides you in the decision you're about to make. It's not that you make the decision, then you now come to tell the pastor that this is the decision you have made. The only response will be, okay. Or you have somebody who disciples you and you're going to make a decision. Yeah, you go and make the decision. Then you now come and tell them that, I've already made this decision already. So you are very conscious of what is happening. Be very conscious of that. Learn how to receive help from other people and not feel obligated to also sort of show that I will also help you one day. When somebody helps you, just receive help. Don't reject gifts or assistance. Even when you think you don't need them. Yes. Instead, you want to pray for the people that help you and the people that give to you, that God will supply their needs. Yeah. I stopped talking about some things like that. Yeah. So when somebody buys something for you, receive it in thankfulness. Learn to say thank you when somebody buys a gift for you. Don't say, oh... You know, you didn't have to go that extra mile to worry yourself. Just collect it, my boy. collected them, say thank you, and save us that kind of a conversation. Yeah. I see you becoming very fruitful because you're going to be very humble at heart to receive all that God has for you through His men. Through His men. Do you believe it? Through His men. You're going to walk in that spirit of humility. That spirit of meekness, humility. You can be corrected. You can be shouted on. You will not get defensive. No. You can be instructed. Yeah. You should be able to be instructed. Do this and you are doing it. Yeah. You should be able to be instructed. You should be able to be told what to do. Yeah. Sometimes in discipleship, you should be told what to do and you do it. And when you do that, you find your life becoming very fruitful. Have the ability to receive gifts from men. Receive them as they come to you in thankfulness. Say thank you where it's necessary. Say sorry when it's necessary. Say, oh, I am wrong when it's necessary. I thought it was like this, but I think I'll do it like this the next time. Don't have anger with people who criticize the things that you do. Sometimes they are constructive enough. Sometimes they are even true, but in your mind you will say they are criticisms. Maybe you tell me anything about myself, I'll just say, oh, okay, I see. Yeah, I'm not saying I'm not like that. I think I'm even worse off than what you are saying. Yeah, sometimes I think so. Yeah, sometimes I think you don't even know me. So when you say, oh, this is the problem, it's just a little problem, I think I'm worse off. I have more problems maybe than you, than I know. I don't know whether I have, but I think maybe I have more problems than I know. So when somebody constructively criticizes what you do, you just get it and then you move forward. And you try to see if it's true of that, whatever you're saying that is a criticism. Sometimes it could be your parents. They are criticizing you on a certain attitude. And I don't think it's a bad criticism. You know? And sometimes it's true. So when it's true, I would not even call it criticism any longer. It's truth. It's just truth. They are just telling you the truth. But you will not listen. And you will always want to justify the reasons why you are doing the things that you are doing. Like I said, when it comes to a resolution on serving the Lord in the ministry, that one, we are going to be resolute on it. But any attitude, anything that you think is not right, that they keep correcting, that they keep talking about. Yeah? Your mom has complained about you, that you sleep a lot. You think she doesn't like you. Yes, you are listening to me. Think she doesn't like you. She actually likes you because the sleep, the man who likes to sleep is going to be poor. And poverty will come upon him suddenly. Yeah. You're a lady, you don't know how to cook. Your mother keeps criticizing you. And sometimes it might be like she's insulting you. Yeah. But it is good that she tells you these things. Because very soon you're going to be exposed. You're going to see that, actually, you would have regretted that you never took time to stay at the kitchen and do something for yourself. So when these things happen, many of your colleagues are telling you that you are very proud, you are very this, you are very that. Don't say that they don't like you. Many times it's not that they don't like you. Many times that's actually the reality. Now, you will learn to see yourself as right in Christ. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It means all of those things don't affect you, right? Yes, if you tell me that, because I believe I'm the righteousness of God in Christ, if you tell me I am like this, it doesn't change my hearty disposition of who I am before God. But I try as hard as possible to make sure that I become good in the sight of men. Yes. So as for God, me and God, when you say I'm like this, it's not between me and God. God doesn't have a problem with me being some way. But if it's going to affect my fellow man, then it means that I have to do something about it that changes me. So God is not having a problem with you. Men have a problem with you. And you have to listen to what the men who have a problem with you are saying to you, so that you can become better. So you can have good relationships. Supernatural, whatever relationship. You can have good relationships, family relationships. Eh? One of the things that, you know, I was at a point in time criticized for was that, Pascal, you don't call. And I said, it's true. It's very true. Yeah, it's very true. My mom was always telling you, call after, I don't even know. Sometimes I've not heard from her in like 3 weeks. I'm somewhere, she's also somewhere. And my dad's somewhere. And I'm like, you don't call. And I'm like, it's true. I know it's true. So I started to say, maybe every week I should try and call in or something. It's necessary. You see, that is necessary. So you don't just say, and I've been busy, and I've been doing this, and you don't know what is happening to me. Who cares? They don't even worry about. They want you to call. That's all. So you're trying to factor in all of those. Sometimes your parents are telling you, you are too quiet. You are always in your room. And you say, can't I be in my room? Can't I? Hey. You need to factor in certain things. When you get to your own home, you realize the importance of being in the hall and being able to socialize with your family. Yes. So start to put all of the things that people are telling you, you know, into. We are not saying that don't let it change your disposition. You are right before God. God has no issue with you. He is as peaceful as God is as peaceful, you know, towards you as He's peaceful towards Jesus Christ. But we need to make sure that we're living just lives before men. So God is going to help you in Jesus' name to avoid this canker of pride. He's going to help you. He's going to help you. When somebody doesn't text you, text them. It shouldn't always be all about you. When somebody doesn't call you, call them. It shouldn't be always all about you. It can't be always all about you. Father, we thank you for tonight. And thank you for what you are doing in our lives. Thank you for making us humble. Thank you for helping us. Thank you, Lord, that in this time and in this season, we're going to be fruitful. We are going to be fruitful. In the name of Jesus. Thank you for your great grace upon our lives. Let every member of this family be known for a heart of love and humility. Let's not have any ego, Lord, in our hearts to protect, to fight. Lord, as you pour out your grace on our lives, we trust this happening to us in the name of Jesus. Right now, to every heart that's listening to me by their ears, pride is taking out of your hearts in the name of Jesus. That these series of teachings become a new man, clothed in humility, yet still all confident of what God says you are, who God says you are, what He says you can do. Be confident in those, yet wrapped up in great humility in the name of Jesus. Be blessed, be blessed, be blessed. Oh, I say be blessed. For saith the Lord, my mighty hand will carry you from one level of influence and affluence to another. My mighty hand will move you into places of authority, saith the Lord. because my great grace is going to be on you. Behold, as you become clothed in humility, my grace will increase upon you. Just as the waters cover the sea, so will I be good to you every time and season of your life. And yeah, while you are humble, be firm at principles. Be firm at my word. Be firm at doing what is right in humility. Do not be afraid to stand for what is right. Stand firm. Stand firm. Stand firm. Stand firm. Toro stoblam bakitiste vive kitento roto poste. Je vekita toste viven toras bakivetele vekibo stantalamande. Vivula taraste vivantel pekisto paralbasto kruste bebilagrata viva statusta. Lush kipam poras kivetele matiste vivan koroto posto. In the name of Jesus. For my grace will be mighty upon you. And oh, where your strength fail, my strength will be available. I said in my word in Zechariah chapter 4, not by might, nor by power, nor by human intellect, but by my spirit, saith I the Lord. And so you will walk in all of these. You will walk in all of these, saith the Lord. You will walk in all of these, saith the Lord. And yes, I see times of abundance, times of great abundance that are right ahead of you as you walk with me humbly. Oh, my servant, walk with me humbly. Walk with me humbly, that I might raise you up so mightily, and that I might raise you up so high. Oh, in all your ways, acknowledge me. Lean not on your own understanding. And I, the Lord, will direct every one of your steps and your path. Walk with me in all humility of hearts. Yes, for in humility, you agree to the things that you say, that I say about you. You affirm that the things that I say about you are right. And you stand on my word. This is true humility. Believing that the things I say you can do, you can do. Believing that the things I say you have, you have. This is true humility. Yeah. For the time has come for you to experience grace like never before. But it's going to come with a lot of humility. Together, acknowledging the Lord for his goodness. Amen.